sharing a message with us today. But Ian's going to come and share again a familiar story, probably to many of you. But pray that God just refreshes it to us. I'll clip this to you, Ian. Is that all right?
Cheers. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 31. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Thanks. I'm going to ask Lee to come up. Lee's going to share with us this morning. And based around, somewhere around those verses from Luke 15. Let's just pray for Lee as he comes up. Lord, we thank you for Lee, and we just pray, Lord, that you would just, again, just pour into him your love, your Holy Spirit, and just use him as a vessel to speak your word to us today. May our hearts be open to your voice, in Jesus' name. Amen.
never get this on. I'm going to need to start wearing shirts or something. Thank you, Ian. I tried to get a longer one, but I couldn't find one. No. Bless you, mate. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Let me just get myself sorted. It's warm in here now. When I woke up this morning, it was freezing. I had pure layers on. Nearly crawled in the door. My back were killing me. Still is, but hopefully the fire of God will burn us up here. Eh? Right, let's just get this cracking here now. Hallelujah. You know, I do a live stream on a Monday night called Torchlighters. Every now and again, we have a couple of guests on, and we preach the gospel and we share our hearts. And I had a guest on Monday night, and every time he started speaking, I just felt the Holy Spirit keep saying to me, "Prodigal son, prodigal son." Listen, we're all pretty much flavoured, and we've probably heard this story a million times. But I couldn't shake away from it, so I started to get my Bible out and was looking at the prodigal son. And, you know, I, in fact, I felt like I didn't even need to read it because I've read it that many times. And, you know, Ian read it so well, and that story. But, you know, we constantly relate to that story. You know, it's not just about 20 years ago when I was in a mess and suddenly I became a Christian, and then that's it. I stopped relating to that passage. But it's, you know, every time we kind of just stray away a little bit. I mean, the world pulls us in. The world pulls us in all these different directions. You know, and God is good, right? God is good, and he loves us with such an unconditional love. And that story of the prodigal son, but the father's heart for us, that when we do stray, when we do kind of go down the wrong path, or whatever reason, whatever brings us away from God, the fact that we've got this amazing, loving father who just wants, he's looking for us. He's looking for us all the time. He's waiting for us to from afar to come so that he can, you know, take that, whatever it is that's going on in our life. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced that over and over again. You know, no matter how long I've been going to church, because, you know, just going to church doesn't define who I am. You know, if we're not careful, church can be a little bit like a club that you join on a Sunday. Everybody comes. You know, we all, you know, it's nice, and we all have a chinwag, and, you know, maybe sometimes when we shouldn't be, but we all have a chinwag in church, and we sing some songs, and, you know, and there's a nice message, and it's something to belong to, and that's good because fellowship is important. But it's not coming on a Sunday that defines you. It's God. It's not about what I do. It's not about how many people I feed on a Tuesday night, or how many sleeping bags I give out. It's not about that. It's all about God. It's about his unconditional love for his son and for his daughter. That connection that we have as prodigals, every one of us at some point will drop the mic. Right? Every one of us. Every one of us will drop the mic. I see rappers doing it all the time. I mean, I would have been good right at the end. I could have just gone boom. But, you know, God's got a sense of humour. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to encourage us today. You know, if I can do anything today, I just want to encourage us that, you know what? We're all prodigals. We're all kind of, we all run the risk every time. Karaoke mic. I'm not taking my top off, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Dave. You bailed us out then, brother. Forgot I had a jacket on. Let me just Do you know? Do you ever get so? What's going on? Do you know what? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You know, we read that story. The story begins with a son who wants what his rightfully is in the right time. He wants to take it all. He doesn't want to wait. He wants to go out with his inheritance and do whatever he wants. We do that. It's like a default setting. We don't want to be lauded anything. We don't want anything lauded over us. We want to do what we want to do. We want to be who we want to be. And, you know, there's a billion people outside of the, out in the world that want to be the lord of their own life. And we try it. I know, I'm black belt. I'm an absolute black belt of trying to do it my own way. And I always end up falling flat on my face. And I get myself in places where I think, why? Why am I here? You know, we read about a guy who had everything, the love of a father, the comfort, the security, and still wanted to go away and just do his own thing, and got to a place of, in a pigsty, you know, being jealous of the pods that the pig was eating. Now, we might not find ourselves in physical pigsties and needing to eat the pods, but we do find ourselves in places of real desperation. And that's if we're honest enough to be honest. You know, when we can always say, are you all right? Yeah, I'm all right, I'm fine. But inside, we're absolutely broken because we've gone down the wrong path, or we've made some silly decisions, or we've lived a little bit recklessly, and we've not put our full focus on God, because heaven forbid, you know, there's two wars, isn't there? There's being a rebellion, but then there's being religious. And that, if you look at the two brothers, the prodigal son and the older brother, there was a battle of rebellion and religion. The older brother, I don't want to be like him either, who just despised the fact that his brother went away doing all these bad things and squandered and prostitutes and everything else. Yet when he comes home, you give him everything. You give him everything back, because that's a picture of grace. Because that's why it's not about anything we do. It's all about God. It's his amazing grace. It's his unmerited favour. And that, you know, wow. Now that's a meal ticket. Because we don't even have to do anything for God to love us. And guess what? We can't do anything more for God to love us anymore. Because he just loves us. He doesn't love Dave more than me. And he doesn't love me more than Leslie. He just loves us unconditionally, no matter what we do. So every time we feel like the enemy's creeping in or things aren't going our way, rather than run away, we should run to God. We should humble our hearts and say, you know what? I don't fully understand what's going on right now in my life, but I know I need you, God. I know that you'll make sense of it. I know that if I can just come back, I know if I can just turn up at my father's door, he'll give me something that I need. He'll give me the food, the nourishment. But I don't need to go back as a servant, because I'm going to get demoted as a son. But actually, I can come back and he will just love me. You know, the scripture says that when one sinner repents, there's an absolute shindig in heaven. There's a proper party going on in heaven. And I think we forget that as a church. And I know me and Leslie have been coming to this church for a couple of years now. And we have seen growth spouts in the church. And it's great to hear. But you know, there's a real party going on in heaven when just one sinner repents. There is. You know, we're at the lighthouse and we see people all the time, you know, praying the prayer, making decisions, and they're all on a journey. And we could be a little bit like the older brother and think, you know what? I don't know about this. I'm a bit dubious. They pray this prayer every week and then they go and do what they're doing. But you know what? Who are we to judge? We don't know the journey that people are on. We know the destination's the same. Amen. Heaven, that's where we're all going. But the journey's different. You know, I can't walk someone else's walk just like they can't walk my walk. But I can encourage, I can empower, because that's how we build the kingdom of God. Not by getting bricks and mortar and concrete and building as great as this building is. But we're the people of God. We're the true building blocks. We're the church. So when we build people up, it's very easy to break people down. It's very easy for us to look afar and see people and make an assumption and a judgment of where they're at and just write them off. People used to write me off all the time. Oh, you'll be this, you'll be that. Oh, do you know what? But thank God there were people that came alongside me, like Ian, that would build me up, that would encourage me, and others, other people that would build me up, even when I don't feel like it. And I don't know about you, maybe I'm the only Christian on planet Earth who don't always feel like 100% all the time. I wake up and I have to get, I'm a bit like the old chicken chaser moped. I have to kick myself in a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Maybe, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 coffees later, or jogging on the spot. But we've got to be honest with each other, because we can't come across like we're holier than thou when inside we're a mess. You know, we've got to be honest with our reflection. When we look in the mirror, we know our own selves, that we're straying away, or we're in this place of, we're in a little bit of a dark place. That's where we need real breakthrough. Because how can we minister to anyone else if we're lying to ourselves that I'm not all right? 20 seconds before I got up to come to the platform, I didn't feel all right. I didn't. I'll be honest with you. I felt like I could just hide away, because my back this morning, as silly as it sounds, my back this morning was so sore that I was struggling to stand up in the worship. But I'm thinking, you know what? Jesus, you died for me on a cross. You absolutely was whipped and insulted, and I can't stand up during worship for a few songs. I can't give you my all for a few songs. And that is why I wanted to make sure that even though, and there were times I was stood up and I felt in so much pain, and but you know what? Your breakthrough, more often than not, will come through the pain. The prodigal son lost everything. Lost absolutely everything. I don't know about you, but I've been there. I've been in a place where I've had nothing. I've been in, and I'm not talking financially, I'm talking everything, where, you know, family members, loved ones, I know what it's like to be in that pit. You know, there's been times where I feel like, you know, people say about rock bottom. Well, I feel like I've been at rock bottom, got myself a JCB and dug another 50 feet and jumped back in. Because when I thought I was at rock bottom, I realised that there was more. But every time I've stepped out in faith, every time I've called out to Father God, He's rescued me. Every time. See, I don't want to play church. I don't just want to say, oh, I'm a Christian, and that's it. I go to church on a Sunday. But I want to be a Christian. I want to be the church. I want to come alongside people and say, you know what? I know you're struggling, but guess what? Jesus loves you so much that He's just waiting for you just to open your heart. And then I can share my story and say, you know what? Because He did that in me. He changed me. I want to be able to lead people to Jesus. But there are so many things going on in this current world where the church is attacking the church. I went on social media the other day on TikTok, and there was hundreds and hundreds of comments of this Christian. He had loads of following, and someone came on it and just said, I'm seeking God. How do I seek God? And they were rubbished and told them that they were a son of the devil. And I'm thinking, what are we doing, church? What are we promoting here? That is not the Father's heart that Ian's just read out. The heart of God, you know, we're all equal in God's eyes because he loves us all the same. When people come, we don't know what baggage people are carrying. We don't know what hurt they're feeling. We don't understand how broken someone is just by looking at someone, by the way they look, by the way they sound, and think we can sum them up, because you just don't know what people are going through. You know, I was bound, completely bound with addiction. So when I'm out on a Tuesday night, they're my kind of people, because I get it. I understand, but not because I like addiction, because I became all things to all people to save a few. You know, I'm never going to go back to work with alcoholics and drug addicts, because I want to drink, I want to take drugs, because I want to shed some light that actually, even in that mess, even as you are right now, God can still come in and transform you. That it's not over. That, do you know what? You haven't reached the end of your life. You know, there's so many people, honestly, there's so many people that think it's game over. God can't love me. Look at the state of me. When Ian's mum said to me, come to church in the morning, I remember saying, Doreen, look at me. Look at the state of me. Don't you tell God how to find you. Christ died while you were still sinners. But we forget that. We forget what God's done in our life. We forget what God is doing all over the world. When people come in on Tuesday night, said, you know, we had a guy the other week and he was on the run from the police and, you know, his life were in shambles and stuff. 12 months before that, I baptised him. But do I write him off because he's gone from giving his heart to Jesus to turning his life around, getting involved in volunteering, but he slipped onto a darker path? Now, do I say that's it? You've had your chance. No, because God wouldn't. But what I can do is press in with prayer. Do you know you can pray people into the kingdom? I've been doing it for years. You know, when God lays someone on my heart, I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray until something happens. Remember the arm back, push, pray until something happens. You know, there are three key things to help us on our prodigal journey. Prayer. Christians that don't pray are foolish. And I'm not just talking those religious prayers where corporate. I love being at this church, I'll be honest with you. It's got such an amazing balance. I like it. I really do. But I love the fact that we pray the Lord's Prayer together. I do. You know what? It actually makes me feel comfy. Because it takes me back sometimes to a place when I was at primary school as well, when we used to all get up and pray the Lord's Prayer. And it makes me feel nice, but I love the fact that corporately we pray the Lord's Prayer. But we should be praying all the time, not just for the world, not just for people, but for ourselves. You know, we're the last people to pray for, aren't we? Ourselves. It's like a pride thing, you know. Or, you know, we pray for absolutely everything under the sun. We get the, it's like the big shopping list out. Oh, pray for this, pray for that. And we neglect ourselves. When the first person we need to be praying for is us. Lord, that you would go before me. Lord, that you would give me the strength. Lord, that you would help me to overcome temptation. Lord, that I would just be a better person today. That I can shine your light today. Then I'll start praying for everyone else. And it's hard. I remember my very first pastor, Jack. He used to, you know, he was tough back in the day, weren't he? Do you know what I mean? I remember going to a conference once and I didn't tell him. You thought I'd have put his front room window through. He proper had a go at me. And I was like, oh. But I remember him saying to me, he said, this is how, this is the obedience of God in a nutshell. Which foot next? Which foot next? He said, if you can let God lead you in every area of your life, in the small things, God will see you through the big things. And he was right. And I laughed at that when I was young. But you know, it is sometimes it's as simple as saying, God, what do you want me to do today? See, we call him Lord. But sometimes it's just a thing we say, almost a title, but we don't. See, to allow God to be the Lord of our life is to let him be Lord. Is to relinquish the control that we've got on it. Like with the prodigal, you know, going away, doing his own thing, squandering, ended up with nothing because he'd just gone on a mad one. Like payday, when all of a sudden you become a weekend millionaire. Then Monday morning, you're down Daisy Nook with a bow and arrow for Monday night's tea. Do you know what I mean? We do that. We just get it and we squander it because we think, yeah, I want to do this, I'm going to do that. I've got all these plans, and then reality kicks in. And you're like, wow, I'm broke as a joke. But God is good. Thank God that, you know what, there's no credit crunch in heaven. Thank God that the currency of heaven is actually faith. You know what, and we can have that in abundance. We can have it in abundance. You know, banks don't close in heaven. You know, you're never going to get refused a loan in heaven. We just need faith. So we purchase miracles. You know, we have a church. We are the true Jehovah's Witnesses. We're the true Latter-day Saints, the born-again believer who believes in Jesus Christ and him who's crucified and rose again. That makes us the saints of God. I'm not going to change my name. I don't expect them to call me Saint Lee. I don't. But actually, you look at the scriptures, we're the saints. We're the people of God. I don't know about you, but I want to see God move in great ways. I want to see miracles. I believe in that Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. I believe in the word of God. I don't believe it's made up or stretched in any way, shape or form. I've seen God move in my own life. I've seen God move in amazing ways in other people's lives. I've seen miracles. I'm not going to lie, I've seen cancers healed. I've seen blind eyes open. I went to Uganda. It was like crazy when I first went over. I was like, is this the same God in Oldham? Doing all these things. When anybody want prayer? Thousands of people at the front. Prayer meetings, thousands of people there. Church, you almost have to bribe people. Come to church, prayer meeting this week. Get a chocolate orange. First 50 get a chocolate orange. Come, I'll be there. But I saw God move in amazing ways, and what it did, it just, something happened. Well, it's Georgia. Me and Georgia went to a church in Uganda, and there were a woman sat there, do you remember, paralysed on a chair, having to be, you know those plastic chairs what you have outside, and if you sit too far at the back, the legs go. Yeah, well, it did when I was bigger. But there was a woman sat there, she'd been lifted to the front, and there was a translator, and I was praying for this woman. I don't know if she understood me or what, and it was that bad. There were a puddle of sweat on the floor, and I had to get a translator over because I just didn't even know what was wrong with her. Not that I needed to, but it would have helped me just pray. And then a translator came over and said, oh, she's paralysed. And I remember that just Holy Spirit just blitzed her, and she just jumped up out of the chair, began to run around in the church. This was a woman who was paralysed, began to run around in the church. There was another woman who, I mean, I could do with this prayer now because she had a bad back, but she, I wouldn't mind, she carried a baby on her back in a, like a, like, I don't know what it was, wrapped. Do you remember? And I said, do something you couldn't do before. So she took the baby off, give it me, and ran off. But she never came back. Not while we were there, did she? I was just passing this baby to random people. Nothing I can do with this baby. But I want to encourage you, that's all. He's the same God. The same God who comes to us in the brokenness. It's all right to laugh in church. It's the same God in the brokenness. Same God on the mountaintops. Same God in the valley. Don't let pride get in the way of your miracle. See, you know what I believe? This is what I believe. And might not always show it outwardly. But I believe that God is going to move through this town. Right? I bought into it. That God is going to move through this town with a fire of God that has never, ever been seen. Smith Wigglesworth prophesied not long before he died that the greatest revival was yet to come. See, I'm all right doing church. I love the routine of church, but I won't let it restrict and dampen my faith to take my eyes off the fact that a fire's coming. All them guys on a Tuesday night, and girls, we're working with addicts, with people with all kinds of crazy issues, working girls, but I believe this, that God is going to move through them in such a way that through it we'll see pastors, we'll see evangelists, we'll see prophets, we'll see teachers, because by the grace of God, we're all the same. We can't look down on anyone unless we're going to help them up. Amen. We can't determine who someone is because they went off. They took the wrong path. They just got involved in reckless living. Because that's me. That's who I was. Chaotic. Off my head. Thinking I knew it all. Thinking this is the better option. You know, I can do what I want when I want. I live on the streets. I've got no one to answer to. Billy Big Mom. But actually the truth was, I was a mess. I was absolutely broken inside. Absolute mess. But when I heard about this Jesus, and I know it goes on YouTube and you never know who watches, but when I heard about Jesus and that he loved me, and that he could take me mess, and he could take me brokenness, and he could get me back on track, I was in. Because nothing before then worked. The drugs stopped working. The drink didn't work anymore. Nothing else I tried worked. I'd eaten from bins already. I'd got that low where I was eating food from bins. Nothing else mattered anymore. I had no self-respect. You know what? I would have gladly someone come and said, you know what? Go and clean out my gutters and I'll give you a couple of quid. I'd have done that. I'll give you a sandwich. I'll give you something to eat. I'd have done that. I relate to that story of feeling like, you know what? Even if I could just eat them pods, that'd be all right. Maybe I could, you know, maybe I could just nick one while they're not looking. Anything to sustain me. The hunger pains were getting bad. But you see, God has a better plan. We don't think like God. Praise his name. We do not think like God. Imagine that complex. But God's got a plan. We read it, but we need to apply it to our lives. God has got a greater plan. For every prodigal, it's not to eat with the swines. It's not to be his servant or his slave, but to be a son and daughter of the Most High God. And in the middle of God's will, in the centre of his will, guess what? That's the safest place to be. That is the safest place to be. Don't stop sharing your faith. Don't stop praying for people. Don't stop being good. Be a good witness. Let people see Jesus. Let people experience Jesus through what you do. Not because you're doing it for spectacle or likes on Facebook or shares or whatever it is on TikTok, but because you know that God loves people. That the love of God can change a complete generation because it changed me. And I know I'm not the only one in here that has experienced the love of God. Do I get it right all the time? Leslie will say different. I don't. Do you know what? I'm sure there's times, I know there's times, where she'd want to just trip me up on the floor and stamp all over me. But I know she loves me. And I can see her nodding with agreement. You're going to get a sore neck, love, nodding that quick. But you know what? I'm not perfect, and neither are you. But that's what, you know, when Dave said about the pot noodles, it's ironic, isn't it? And I kind of knew where Dave was going with it. But you know what? We're all unique. We're all individual. None of it makes sense. And we're all put together. But God sees us in a different way. See, God sees his church, his glorious bride. He sees what we don't see. We don't always wake up on a Sunday morning and I don't anyway. If anyone else does, point us, you know what I mean? Message me. I don't always wake up on a Sunday morning. Oh, come on, it's church. Can't wait. Roly-poly out the door. I mean, I love church. I love coming, but I don't always. It's like that chicken chaser moped. Sometimes I have to rev up. There's a million and one issues before I even leave the house. Another million before I get in the car. And then the journey. And by the time you get in, sometimes you're like, when's this church? What time's the service finish? But you know what? When we're here, when we're together, in unity, God commands a blessing. You are more than you think you are. You're not here by chance. You're here by divine purpose. God sends people out. God will always put people in people's way. But the truth is, you were called from the beginning. Right from the beginning. We walk around aimlessly like prodigals. But when God calls us, we listen. When God moves in our lives, we become different. We're not the same. Might look the same in the mirror, but we're not the same. We're different. God's doing the work inside. So pray for the prodigals. Pray for those that are living chaotic lives. Really begin to press in, because your prayer makes a difference. Your prayer can shift something in the heavenlies. The way you talk to someone, the way you come alongside someone, the way you love someone, the way you reach out, the way you just be the hands and feet of God with someone matters. Because I tell you something, if people wouldn't have got round me, I wouldn't be here now. Because my heart was so hard. If people wouldn't have shown me the compassion of God, by just being themselves, by just loving on me, by just praying for me. I always remember, and I'm going to end with this, an old Edna from church. He went to be with the Lord a few years ago. I remember still having that pride, and I'd got, things were getting better. I'd got myself a little flat, and I could see my eldest daughter at the time. I only had one then, and everything was going right, but I didn't have any food. I didn't want to ask. I didn't want to ask people for help because I felt ashamed that I couldn't afford food. I was on such a low income and I had to get taxes to get my daughter and everything had to go on her. And, you know, I felt that was the right thing to do. But then I was going knocking on other people's doors to see if, she could have something to eat. And I remember this old lady come knocking at my door with a big bag of shopping. And she handed it to me, and she blew a kiss to me and walked away. Never said anything. And it spoke volumes of who her God was. That's what I wanted to be like. I wanted to be someone who wanted to just show the love of God with no agenda, with no... Here, Lee, here's your bag. Smile, selfie. Someone who genuinely wanted to show the love of God. People like that, all along my journey, brought me to where I am now. Because there were times where I just wanted to give up. There were times, we're all bad. You know, my early days of being a Christian was, you know, it was all right. But then the struggles come when you're not in church. Because the church becomes your support network. So what do you do when you're not in church? It's like, ah. And anyone with a mind like mine, which was so, I had such an addictive personality, was hard for me, not being around that support network. But thank God there were people that God used just to love me, just to nurture me, to disciple me. That's why it's so important. I feel like an hypocrite saying this because I can never make it, because the Monday night one, I do my streaming, and the others, I'm at work. But discipleship is key. You'll never fully get discipled from the pulpit. It's so important that, you know, we invest in ourselves and learn more and more and more about God, about the character of God, about what it is to be a Christian. So I really encourage you guys, if you can make it to these meetings, are they run up to Christmas, are they, Dave? Get there. Invest in yourself. Because the world has got nothing of eternal value to add to your life. It'll only take away. It'll only distract you. It'll only pollute you. Seriously. I know. I'm going to hand over to Dave. Now, I just want to pray. Just a simple prayer, really. I just want to pray for the prodigals. That's what's been on my heart. You know, we're nice and warm now in this building, and, you know, most of you are looking at me smiling, which is always nice. No one's asleep. But the people outside these walls right now thinking thoughts like, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm confused with who I am. I'm in turmoil. I'm broken. Nobody gets me. Nobody understands. Nobody would miss me if I were here. There are people out there that are in desperate, desperate need of a saviour. I want to pray for them this morning. Just very quickly. Let's bow our heads as we just pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, like we've sung today, your name is above every single name. It is full authority. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus for every prodigal, every person outside, Lord, that doesn't know you, that is broken, that is desperate, that is hurting. Lord, I pray, Father, for their miracle. Lord, that you would send men and women to them. Lord God, that you would bless them. Lord, that you would touch their hearts. Lord, that they would know you. That, Father, they would have an encounter with you. Just like I did. A real encounter of your love. In that chaos. In that wildness. In that world that is without you. Lord, that they will encounter you in such an amazing and powerful way. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.